Testing 1, 2. How about that? I apologize. Y'all heard me though, didn't you? Okay, all right. It was quite a scary week for us as a church family, and for Mike and Janie and his and all their family. And I'm just so grateful that the surgeon there in Victoria did a great job and came up with a non-invasive, innovative approach, and we are indeed grateful. Matter of fact, let's pray. Let's pray and lift Mike and family up to the Lord. Father God, we're grateful for this day. All good things come from your hand, Father. You created things, and all things end their work and process according to your will. And we're grateful to be your sons and daughters, Father, having confidence that no matter what we do face in life, that there is nothing that can overcome the relationship that we share with you. Father, you've given us victory in the face of everything that is a threat to our existence, and we are indeed grateful. Thank you for Jesus and his faithfulness and his love, and we pray that that will be complete and perfect among us, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, we thank you for our brother Mike. I ask you to continue to help him, sustain him. Father, be with other members in our church that are facing real challenges to their health, and Father, that are broken in body, broken in spirit. And I pray that you'll bless them in every way. In Jesus we pray, amen. All right, I want you to think about your life, specifically the schedule of your life, and which one of these descriptions best describes you, okay? So we have options A, B, and C. Which one of these descriptions do you most closely associate with? A, my life is balanced and in harmony. My love and service for my Lord, my church, my family, and my work are structured in such a way that most everything is well. I sleep well at night and feel rested when I wake up. That's option A. Option B, my life is a little out of balance. I'm mostly doing well, though there are some rough spots where I could do better. My life with the Lord and others is sometimes strained or neglected due to overwork. Letter C, my life is chaos. I go from one problem or crisis to the next, never really seeming to find peace. I tend to be irritable and have difficulty concentrating. People get on my nerves. I feel like I'm surrounded by idiots. It seems like my prayers to the Lord only occur when there is an emergency or crisis. My life is best represented as a chicken with its head cut off. I go to church, I take care of my family, I work like a slave, I try to be there for everyone and do everything, and don't understand why others are not as committed as I am. It makes me mad. I tend not to be able to sleep well and need lots of caffeine in the morning and something to help me sleep at night. I'm stressed. I won't make anyone raise their hand with regard to which one of these best represents you, A, B, or C. But I do believe that each one of us will more associate with one versus the other. Let me just say this. For almost everyone, a healthy work and life balance seems to be elusive. It seems to be an impossible goal, because what are we doing? We're juggling heavy workloads. We're trying to manage relationships. We have our family responsibilities, and we try to do some things that bring fun or exercise or enjoyment into our lives. In our culture in America today, and I do believe this is true not only of Americans, but my observation is it might be very true among Christians and maybe have some truth in my own life. 1 in 4 Americans are what are labeled super stressed. 1 in 4 Americans today are super stressed. And if we are super stressed, let me ask a very simple question. What is it in our life that's taking a hit? And if you don't know the answer to the question, ask the person that's closest to you in your life. And I'm confident they will be able to easily identify what it is that is taking a hit because of the way that we are currently structuring our life and our schedule. You know, in the 1800s, we had the Industrial Revolution. We had assembly lines and many products were being made, and almost all of the work during the time of the Industrial Revolution was manual labor. It was putting things together and producing things. And when then that whistle blew, that's when work began. And when that whistle blew again, that's when work was over. And what did you do? You went home. You went home. Some of you who are older in this assembly can remember maybe your parents and the whistles going off in town, and they're able to take a break, and they go to work, and when the work day is over, they come home and they relax and they kick back and they do well. What they don't do is worry about what's going on at work while they're not there. Even during the Industrial Revolution, both the industrialist and the workers' unions determined that workers needed rest. And so they came up with not just one day of rest, but 2 days of rest. And today we loosely hold to those 2 days. It's Saturday and it's Sunday. But sometimes we can really fill up our schedules to such a point where rest has become an illusion in our lives. And it doesn't help when the President of the United States on the debate stage or any other place talks about people with low energy. That's a low energy person. And at 3 a.m. in the morning, the President's sending out tweets and giving the impression that he's just a little bit better than human, right? And if you're a tremendous leader, then you really don't need much sleep. Research tells us, though, am I allowed to say that without getting mustard and tomatoed? And okay, just checking. Just want to see for just a minute if I can tread a little lightly there. So it gives the impression that real great leaders really don't need sleep. Research has shown us, though, that there's only 1% to 3% of the total population that can function well with 5 to 6 hours of sleep at night. I am not one of those one percenters, okay? I am not one of those people. If I only got 5 or 6 hours of sleep a night, I could do it during hunting season when I'm hunting ducks. I can make that work. Somehow, some way, I find the motivation to be able to make that work. But if I go beyond 2 or 3 days, I'm going to crash. That's just the way I'm wired. And work is the same way. If I don't get enough sleep at night, there is no point in me coming to an office, sitting down at the desk, opening up my Bible, opening up biblical studies books, reading through that, processing information, studying, pursuing, and digging in, and trying to figure out creatively how to make a lesson come together such that we together collectively understand God's will for our lives. Folks, if I don't have enough rest, it's not going to happen. What about you? Do you do well without a lot of sleep? Do you do well with just working nonstop all the time? Do you do well by just filling up your schedule with all kinds of activities, work, family, a little league, on and on and on, boom, 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 boom. And doesn't life down that road feel kind of boom, 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 boom? Like you're in some kind of game, and you're just getting bounced around, and you're just responding and reacting constantly. And you might feel a little fatigue. It's tiring. And it's inhumane. It is to embrace the chaos that the Lord subdued in creation. When we fill our schedules up with everything but rest. It's like the Lord stuck a lid on a box saying, this is what it means to be humane. And we say, no, I'm smarter than that, Lord. I don't need 6 days of work and a day of rest. No, I can do it all. right? Bible even says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, so I can work and I don't need sleep, you know? We might call that a misapplication of God's word. Today, I want us to think a little more deeply about our schedules and how we really do structure our lives. Look, friends, we're not a commodity. We're a human. An orange is a commodity. And I can take an orange and I can squeeze that orange and I can get orange juice from it. And when I've squeezed all the juice out of there that I can, I then take what the remainder of what's left of that commodity, and what do? I discard it. And if I want more orange juice, I'll get another one, and I can squeeze all of that, and I can enjoy that. Man, that's good. That's a commodity. Do you ever in your life feel like the life is being squeezed out of you? And so what do you do in response to a lifestyle that you and I are choosing to live that is not in balance and harmony with the created order? Remember the temptation of Adam and Eve, you know, to be like God, pretty much deciding for themselves what is good and what is evil. And as a result, it led to isolation from God and threat and fear from one another. Human relationships were destroyed. When you and I fail to live in the rhythm of God's creation, all things suffer. Our relationships with God and each other suffer because we refuse to live in the way that God intended us to live, to fully be human. And do you know when our stress level goes up, productivity goes, guess, productivity goes down. Our creativity, it goes down. Somebody once said, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. I would also say all play and no work makes Jack unemployed. But regardless, it is true. All work and no play is very destructive to our lives. How many of you feel like you can never turn it off? Like you go to work and you're turned on. Okay, you do your work and then you're done with your work. Are you done? I mean, we have these things called smartphones. Are they really that smart? Are they smarter than the person who possesses those? They do come with an off button. Do you ever turn yours off? Or do you feel obligated that every time someone posts something on social media, that if you're going to be a good friend, you need to respond to it and like it and add to that? Like, another way of saying this is, do you ever turn things off? Do you ever create space for you and the Lord? You, the Lord, and your family. You, the Lord, and no one else. It's so hard to leave work these days because we can receive texts, we can receive emails, we can receive social media, and on and on and on it goes. And when we live vicariously in other people's lives. One of the dangers of social media is that I see all the good things happen in your life, and Ken, I look over at my life and I go, I'd like to have a job like Ken's. He gets a lot of vacation. It's pretty obvious. And he gets comp time pay. I don't get comp time pay. And I'm like, he's going all these places all over the country doing all these things. And I think about my life is pathetic. And Ken looks at me and goes, man, I wish I were as good looking as John. I better just leave it there. We'll just stop right there. We'll just leave it alone. And on, now think about this. That's not what occurs. It is something that we can allow to occur in our lives. We allow covetousness and envy. I mean, it just feeds those issues in our lives. Of course, social media can be used in all kinds of helpful ways. But folks, there are these things called off buttons. And we need those times in which we're off the grid. Amen? We really do. If we're going to be human, we've got to step away from work. We've got to step away from being connected with everyone so that we can connect with God. Because what happens when we find out about all the things going on in someone else's life and even the bad news going on in their life, then how does that affect our lives? Okay, even Jesus, you might read the scripture on this one. Even Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray, and he left people behind that had come searching for him for healing. He thought the disciples needed rest more than work when they had worked too much. Are you smarter than Jesus? Are you more discerning than Jesus? And it also stands to reason that if God put a day in the created order and he called it the Sabbath, which means to cease or to rest, and that's what he did in the work of creation, you and I are not the creator. We are the, help me church, the creature. Say, I am the creature. As creature, are you more discerning and wise and smarter and more able than the creator? Everything that God leads us to, church family, is for our well-being. When we trust and obey, it leads to human flourishing. It leads to greater freedom in our lives, and it leads to peace. And it also creates space to be available to those around me. And all of a sudden, everybody around me is not an idiot. The idiot is not everyone around you. So God gives us this command in Exodus chapter 20. He gives Israel this command, Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God, and on it you shall not do any work, neither you, count this with me, neither you, nor your son, or your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor the foreigner residing in your towns. How many people and things are mentioned? Seven. There we go. Is that easier to see? There's seven. In Jewish numerology, what do you know about the number seven? Seven is complete. This is an egalitarian passage. Means that nobody gets ahead and nobody gets behind, including the animals and the foreigners in their midst. It is universal in the sense that everyone is to put it on pause. And they're to rest. And so that we can live humanely as God has created us. Folks, if we have chronic stress in our lives because we refuse to live within human limitations, it zaps our concentration, makes us irritable. We experience depression on a greater level. It harms our personal relationships because we're short with our friends and our family. It makes us difficult to work with among our colleagues. Physically, it hurts our immune systems. We're more susceptible to colds, backaches, heart disease, difficulty sleeping. Chronic stress will double the risk of you having heart disease. That statistic alone ought to raise all of our blood pressure. If we work overtime all the time, we will have no time. And if you work overtime all the time, overwork will negatively impact your sleep, and you will experience what is known as a sleep debt. It's like being overdrawn at your bank. And then the next check that comes in, you're trying to pay off those debts, which puts you even further behind, and it's a downward cycle. You and I can't live like this. But the flip side is also true. Achieving a healthy work-life balance is a worthy goal. Workers and businesses benefit. When life's in balance and in harmony, we're more productive. We need fewer sick days off. We're more likely to stay in our jobs. And our home life and church life won't take a hit. What do we know about work? Work is good and sanctioned by God, isn't it? One of the first commandments that God tells Adam is, hey, I want you to work and till this ground. Make it productive. Get after it. It's great. Work is a blessing from God. But do you know also that rest too is a gift He desires for you and I. Now, if I were to ask you, church family, to draw two clocks, you know, just a little round clock, and I said, okay, in the first clock, I want you to fill in, you know, create little pie, the little pie sections, and fill in all the things of your schedule during the day as it currently is. And no cheating or lying, no fudging the truth, okay? And then that was what you do. And then I said, I want you to take another clock here, and I want you to draw out your ideal day. Like if you could schedule your day and give an appropriate attention to work, to family, to love, to the Lord, to service, to rest, well, how would that clock look? How many of you right now believe that nothing would change between those two diagrams of your clock? That may indicate that we have some work to do, church family. I want you to look real quickly with me to another section in the Old Testament from Deuteronomy in which this commandment is restated. It's in Deuteronomy 5, verse 12. And I want you to notice something different here. Deuteronomy 5:12 says, "Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox or donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do." Pay close attention to verse 15. "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." Now, what's different here is in Exodus 20, the Sabbath is rooted and grounded in creation. Creation predates the law of Moses. The creation story is universal for all humanity. To live without some Sabbath in our life, some time, is to live in opposition to the created order that the Creator has created for the creature. But in the Deuteronomy passage, notice that Sabbath is rooted in the reality that God is not just Creator, He is also Redeemer. He's redeemed us from slavery. How long and how often do slaves work? Do you hear me, church? How long do they work? 5 days? Did they get Saturday and Sunday off? 6 days? 7 days? How many hours a day? As many as Egypt can get out of them. And you know, when you're done with that commodity, you can just bury that one and put another one right in. Israel had been led out of that. Now here's the danger. If Pharaoh in Egypt can oppress people by squeezing the life out of them, getting everything they can out of them, is it possible that Israel could do that too? Isn't that the nature of humanity? Pride and greed. And so now you're no longer the slave. You're a free person as an Israelite. You're in the master position. What are you going to do with your time? And is your time really your time? Or is it God's time? By the way, time can't be remade, can it? You know, money we can recover sometimes. Talent we can get back on track using our skills. But once time is spent, time is forever gone. And God's interested in how you and I use our time. And so what the Israelites could do is they're in the free position. Now they're masters in their lives. They're living like kings in a land that God led them into. Will they oppress in the same way that they were once oppressed? And what God does in the Sabbath by commanding it is He is preventing the oppression of all people within Israel. The Sabbath rest is for everyone. And so if you want to live like a slave, you can do that. It's not going to go well for you. Everybody's going to get hit. You're always mad and angry. And then you're angry because nobody else is committed as you are. But you're the idiot. No one else around you is an idiot. You are. I say that very graciously. Like kindly. Like if there's room for work, go for it. In the sense of this is a growth area in our lives. But if we have time for the idiots, the people that just drain us, needy, if we have rested and things are in order in our life, we can help restore order in other people's lives as well. We can help redeem the time. But just because you're in a state of chaos and you want me to join you in your chaos doesn't mean that I need to, because if I join you in your chaos, I'm going to be an idiot just like you. God has not called any of us to be idiots. Amen? Now, John, does Jesus, is he faithful to the Sabbath? New Testament tells us he is. He observes the Sabbath. Is the Sabbath for Christians? We can read Colossians chapter 2. And Colossians, the Apostle Paul says, it's a shadow of the reality that is to come. In other words, it's not the real substance, but it's pointing to something that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That if you and I are in Christ and we are living the Christian life, rest is fulfilled in Jesus. Our hearts are put to rest. Then we can apply the passage, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know what it's like to have plenty, and I know like what it's like to not have much. I can do all things through Christ who has given me. Jesus is the reality that the Sabbath was pointing to, that he points me to rest. That's spiritual rest. But you and I also have not reached the time and when Jesus and the Lord renews all things in creation, according to Acts chapter 4. You and I are human. We're subject to human limitations. And so if God in the created order, in Genesis chapter 2, where he God at rest on the seventh day, and that predates the law of Moses, and it suggests that everyone, all humanity needs rest, and we need to live in the rhythm of God's creation, then that aspect applies to us today as well. So church family, I want you to think about this with me, how important our time is. The Bible wisely tells us in Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days aright so that we can gain a heart of wisdom to live wisely. Paul says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And so we need to be reminded to use time wisely. It's irreversible. It's irreplaceable, and misuse of our time cannot be refunded. A well-ordered life with appropriate and meaningful time allotted for the Lord, family, friends, exercise, work, rest, play, sleep, prayer, Bible reading, worship assemblies, and Christian service will lead to a well-ordered life. We were made for work, but we were also made to, help me church, we were made for work, but we were also made for rest. I'll close with the most famous of all psalms, which is Psalm, the most famous of all psalms, the 23rd. The Lord is my shepherd. You have to slow down, don't you? You just have to slow down. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. Did you hear that differently? And then what does it say? He makes me. What? Lie down where? In green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Sometimes we need to be made to settle. You can go on. Live, let's see, A, B, and C. You can be C. Go ahead. Or you could choose something different. To work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord and not for men, and to also recognize that a part of the created order, God has ordained that I need rest. And when I'm rested, I love you so much more. I can tolerate you so much more. I can laugh so much more. I can sleep so much better. I wake up feeling good. Church family, do you hear the word of the Lord? May God bless us in these efforts to live wisely in our lives. Let's stand and continue our worship. If we can serve you this morning with prayer, we ask you to come forward while we stand.